Hello, you are listening to CITR 101.9. This is broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam territory. My name is Lucy, and you are listening to the Student Special Hour. Today, we are going to be having Jay from the AMS Food Bank talking with us today and doing an interview. We also are going to play a game. Jay doesn't know this yet, but we're going to play a game, and we're also going to just play some tunes for you. Starting off, this is just a little bit of a fun tune. Start off your morning a little bit dancey, a little bit silly. This is Hey Ocean with Make a New Dance Up.
Left me destroyed when he cut me like a saw with his back and forth, and I remind you of someone you loved when you were young. She tossed you like a stone into the ocean. We thought we'd never dance again, so scared of second chances, but now there's something. You really want me? We thought we'd never dance again, so scared of second chances, but now there's something.
Careless and free on this road. Yeah, my sins are bound to me, I was told.
Oh,
You're the girls I've known in my life for oh so cold. You're my last and my pretty wives I've already told. Yeah, the path you've chosen to be a skipping stone. But you're asking me to find my fame, and I will idly start. Yeah, I can't explain the hole in my heart. But I made enough my mistakes on my own, and I'll make enough my mistakes when I'm old. So I made enough my mistakes on my own. Heaven and see the sin that it shows. They don't light the way for me. Oh no. And I know the path I've chosen to be a skipping stone. But you're asking me to hide my shame, and my shame won't go. But I can't explain why. Told me the same. My heart is gone. I'm a useless name.
Welcome back. You are listening to CITR 101.9. My name's Lucy, and you're listening to the Student Special Hour, and we are here with Jay from AMS Food Bank. How's it going this morning, Jay?
It's going wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. We were just discussing a little bit about how tired we are, but I'm a little concerned that that is going to be just an ongoing conversation on every one of my radio shows. So I should probably put up a nice front for the radio. I'm so awake, so happy to be here at 10 a.m. on
Friday.
Caffeine
filled, ready
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so well, let's just jump right in. Just tell us a little bit about what is the AMS Food Bank.
Yeah, for sure. So whenever I'm talking to people about the AMS Food Bank, people are like, wait, we have a food bank on campus?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the first kind of reaction that I get from essentially everybody that I talk to about this. So again, the AMS Food Bank has been operational in the AMS Services Department since 2006. We've been operating since then. We've changed locations around in the old sub and the nest as well. Currently, we're located in the old sub. In a new location right next to where the deli used to be last year. So what is the AMS Food Bank? Again, we provide food relief for any students that are food insecure. And simply what food insecure means is that they don't have access to food. A lot of our population, our demographic, are graduate students, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'd say during the summer months as well, because a lot of undergraduate students were just away, they were on vacation. So our graduate students are around like 60 to 70% of our demographic. And again, a lot of those people are studying for their master's or studying for their PhD programs, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. And we find that those are the individuals that actually need to use a food bank more so because they're spending more money on tuition, more money on rent. And they also may have families, and they also may have children or spouses. So their expense is a little bit higher. So again, the food bank itself, how it operates is that you can use a food bank 6 times a semester if you're a UBC student with the UBC student card. That also includes any affiliated colleges around UBC, including Corpus Christi, Regent College, and Vantage College as well now. So you can use it 6 times a semester. Again, it's operational throughout the entire year. So in total, you can use it 18 times during the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And when you come, we have these little bags, not little, probably like the size of a grocery bag, and you could fill in one if you're an individual. But if you're supporting a family, you can fill two. So yeah, those are kind of like the little details.
That's like the rundown. The food bank. Yeah. Absolutely. So 18 times a year, that's like pretty good, right? For someone who's food insecure, as you say, it's not necessarily isn't necessarily every week that they're able to do it, but it's enough to sort of supplement.
Yeah. What I personally have found is that there are people that will come and use it whenever, maybe a time of the month or the time of the semester that their funds are significantly lower than they would be, say, in the beginning of the semester. Maybe they're on scholarship, whatever it may be. So they start using it more so near the end of the semester. That being said, if they really need to use a food bank, we find these individuals come in 6 times in 2 weeks. Because, again, like the food that they'll fill up in that bag, yes, it could provide them for maybe a couple of days. But, again, if they're providing for other people and their spouse or their children, they need to come back and use it again. So I've had clients that are using the food bank and finishing their quota essentially in 2 or 3 weeks simply because they're using it for a reason and they need to use it to the full capability as quickly as possible just to provide for themselves.
Just to get through the day. That's amazing. And so how long this has been going on since 2006, you said? Yeah. And how long have you been involved?
I just started in May, actually. So I've been here for the last 6 months.
And how's that been going for you so far?
A lot of different kind of feelings about it. Initially, again, I was one of the people that didn't even know we had a food bank on campus, to be completely honest. But when I found out about it, I did more research into it as well. I talked to the people that are working with it. And I found that they had a really good, really strong passion for not only the food bank, for just providing a service to people to help them out. And then ever since I started, I didn't really think it was, I thought it was something that is useful for a lot of students, but I didn't think it was useful for this amount of students and this amount of variety of people as well. What we found is that the demand of the food bank has increased like exponentially.
Yeah, I saw that a UBC article on that you guys were saying.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on with that?
So, again, a lot of people think that, with the raise in tuition, that's the reason why this is happening, raise the rent, that's why it's happening. That being said, it hasn't increased the level of what the food bank demand has increased, if that makes sense. So if you're looking at a graph and you see like the tuition rates increase, the food bank rates increasing would be even higher than that, significantly higher than that over the last year or two. So why I think that's happening is that I think people already needed to use the service, is that people didn't know about it. And the last 2 years, the food bank coordinator did a really good job. Her name was Kirsty, of raising awareness for the program, having different fundraisers, different events, to be able to show that this is actually a service on campus, and if people need to use it, they can use it.
Absolutely.
So I feel like it was the awareness that was being built that actually brought all these clients in and brought all these other students in as well to actually use it. They needed to use it in the first place, but they had no idea this was a service on campus. And now because they know about it and we're having all these different fundraising events and different promotional things that are happening around campus, people are like, can I use this? Like, yes, you can use it and like, come talk to us. And so I think that's why the demand has increased so much more than just like the regular rates of tuition increasing.
Absolutely. And do you find that it might be a little bit to do with the stigma around it changing?
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a really good thing that you brought up, because personally for me, like, we've had two goals, is A, to raise more awareness for the food bank, and then B, lower the stigma of using the food bank itself, because there is one. So what we've kind of done to lower the stigma is just to have a very friendly environment when they come into the food bank. All of our volunteers and myself are always smiling, always asking our clients how their days are going, and just like making it an environment where they don't really feel like they're using a food bank. And just like talking to our clients, they've been telling other people about it, other people that they know that need to use the service. And this a similar kind of vibe and environment that they're showing people or telling people about, they enter it and they see it again. So definitely, I think the stigma is lowering. And I guess that is one of the reasons why people are using it more so, is that because it does take quite a bit of courage to say, yes, I need to use a food bank. I need to walk into a food bank and actually use it. But one thing that I stated earlier is just make it very simple. It's like, if you need to use a service, we're here to use it. Just come use it. Don't think too much about it. And I think that's really, I think that's actually being implemented now with our clients. And yeah, for sure, I think that is one of the reasons why the demand is increasing slowly.
Absolutely. And I feel like it's hard for a lot of people just to ask for help, period.
Yes.
Never mind having to almost basically ask a stranger,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So it's incredible that it's exciting to see that people might be more interested in pursuing it and everything. Mm-hmm. So what kind of, this is sort of a term that we have something called a mandate, right?
Okay.
Do you guys have like a mandate, or what kind of principles or mandate do you follow in your food bank to kind of, you were kind of mentioning it before, but about how like you keep everyone wants to be friendly,
yeah.
But sort of what do you guys run on? What is sort of, why do you show up there every day basically?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. Personally for me, and something that we have 10 volunteers working in the food bank, and one thing that we've really built a passion on, like I said earlier, is helping people out around campus and helping out society. For me personally, interacting with the clients on a day-to-day basis and just talking to them and hearing their stories as well. And a lot of them have like gone through a lot of difficult situations in their lives, whether it be with school, whether it be with like, a lot of these students are also immigrants. They've come to Vancouver from a different country around the world, and this is an entirely new experience for them. And they've gone through quite a bit to actually get over here. So just interacting with them, you hear all these stories, and what it does for me personally, I know for the volunteers as well, it makes us extremely grateful for our own lives and what we're going through, and realize that whatever little stressors or studying for a midterm or something and we're worried about it, we have access to food. We are able to meet that like easy human necessity that everybody needs, and we don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But people, clients who use the service, they don't even have, or they have struggled to actually reset, which obviously impacts the rest of their life as well. So mandate-wise, we have, again, a very friendly environment there simply because we understand what these clients are going through. A lot of these clients will come in somewhat dejected. Some of them come in with a smiling face. It's just interacting with these different clients and seeing what they want as well from our own interaction is an interesting thing to learn, and is something that our volunteers and myself are trying to implement as well. So just, again, having that really good environment and just being eternally grateful for everything that's happening in our lives. And if we're doing that and we're very appreciative of our own, like ourselves, then we'll portray that and we'll show that to our clients and be like, yes, this is an open environment and a very friendly environment, because our personal like appreciation for ourselves is shown when we're talking to our clients on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And it's sort of like a safe space on campus. That's really exciting to hear. So how can other people get involved?
Yeah, for
sure. So you mentioned these volunteers that you have. So what does that involve?
Yeah, for sure. So it's like, what do you really do in a food bank? Like, what are the operational things that happen in the food bank? We run events. We have sponsors that we need to be contacting and need to maintain relationships with them as well. We have a volunteer specifically focused on just dealing with clientele relations and asking them questions. Hey, how was your experience? Like, what would you like in the food bank? Is there anything that we can work on? And getting feedback for that as well. There are individuals who plan events. This entire semester, we've probably had around like 7 or 8 different events around campus, trying to kind of have everybody focusing on one goal as well, and helping out the food bank has been also a really cool thing to do. So how people can get involved is simple. Like, all you have to do is email me at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca, and we'll see a position that will fit for you, maybe even working underneath the portfolio of one of our other executives, or simply just being a special events volunteer is what we call them. It's just helping out on the special events that we're going to be having during the year. One thing that I like to challenge people who are actually interested in it is thinking, if they're already associated with a club or organization around campus, how can they help out the food bank?
Mm-hmm.
How can they hold an initiative? How can they have a fundraiser to assist us? Or how can we work together to be able to reach a goal as well of just collecting as much food or monetary donations as possible? Because, again, we have a lot of volunteers. A lot of people do help out the food bank, and I'm very grateful for that as well. Our volunteers are amazing. And it's people who just say, I want to volunteer for the food bank, it's kind of difficult to put them in a position.
Mm-hmm.
If they come to me with an idea of how they want to help out the food bank, again, like I said, with organizations that they're already a part of, because a lot of the people that want to volunteer, they're already helping out elsewhere on campus as well. Those are the kind of students that are attracted to something like this,
mm-hmm.
what I found at least. So, I would challenge people who are actually really interested in helping out the food bank to, A, email me, but then, B, have an idea of what you actually want to do with this. You're getting a really good understanding of what we do already and what we're doing around campus this year. So how can you help with that? And how can you just make it even better?
Mm-hmm. Bring your own unique spin to
exactly.
it. Absolutely. Well, we'll be back in a bit to talk to Jay more about the food bank. For now, we've just got the song by Said the Whale. Here's Safe to Say. Inside of safe.
It's safe to say I'm more or less inclined to walk away, and if I am defined, you are the dope and I am the climb at the end of my rope. It's safe to say that I would be the last to bring a vex upon your face standing in this lineup. It's safe to say, and I would be the first to bring my fist upon your crown. You would be the first man to bring this mountain down. It's safe to say. It's safe to say, and I would be the last to bring the vex upon your face, and I would be the man to be the one to walk away, and I would be the first to make your place upon the ground. You would be the first man to bring this mountain.
Hello, once again, you are listening to, hello, I always do that, so excitedly. You're listening to CITR, we're here on the Student Special Hour with Jay from the AMS Food Bank, and we're talking about all things food bank-like, and so last we've been talking a little bit about what you guys are about, a little bit about your kind of mandate, your principles. But what are some things that are happening?
Yeah.
You're here talking about these events and these things going on, these events organizers, all very exciting stuff.
For sure.
But what are these things? What are some things that we can check out?
Yeah, for sure. So all these events that I'll be talking about really shortly kind of go around another goal that we had at the food bank. And again, I'm a UBC student, and as an objective student looking on campus, I hadn't really ever seen something where different organizations around campus were all coming together to help out one cause or one anything really. You see all these different organizations and clubs excel, but they're doing their own thing, and they're helping out the target audience that they have specifically for their own clubs.
Yeah.
But I haven't necessarily seen, again, something that the entire campus is helping out one thing. So I said, wow, like as a student and again as a food bank coordinator, how can we tie this two together? So what I did during the summer was contact essentially every single club around campus to see like how they can help out the food bank, how we can help them out. So what we had started was initially a campus-wide food drive that every single undergraduate society would have their own food drive, do a raise food donation, also monetary donation, and also raise awareness for the program itself or for the food bank itself, and with the main goal to have, again, like everybody around campus helping out one specific cause. So starting in September, we had the AUS food drive. And we collected food as well as raised a lot of awareness for the program. And this year, currently happening right now, actually, is Commerce's little week for the food bank. And they're having it they've had it for the last 3 days. This is the last day that they'll have it as well. And then next month will be Science. And then in December, right before exams start, it'll be a campus-wide food drive, having a competition between every single faculty to see who can raise, A, the most food, and then B, the most money. We have prizes set up for the AMS events to see, like, if this faculty wins this, and they'll be entering into a draw to win a prize. Also, that's happening. This week has actually been really, really crazy. We had, again, the Sauder food drive start, and then we also had something called Cranksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Which you partnered up with the bike co-op, and they had they essentially had a race to see, like, they went to go collect food as well. And I got the update from one of our volunteers this morning, and it went really, really well. There were 25 participants that signed up for the entire event. They all had to bring a food donation to actually be a part of the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
So we raised almost 100, not cans, but just 100 donations or, like, mm-hmm. items of food for the food bank itself. Which is really, really cool. And then tomorrow for Halloween, we have our annual Trick or Eat, where we go around knocking on doors saying, "Trick or Eat." And then we'd say, like, "Would you like to donate any non-perishable items to the AMS Food Bank?" And we all went flyering on Wednesday to just, like, warn all the residents around Point Grey to say that, hey, we're going to be coming by on Halloween as well.
Totally.
And just other, like, large campus-wide initiatives are, we have food for fines for both library and parking. So what that is, for instance, for parking, you can pay half of your, you only have to pay half of your parking ticket, and 25% of it will be in food, and 25% of it will be, like, in a payment, and all of it will go to the AMS Food Bank.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so that's the same for library fines as well. The library fines initiative is still continuing. The parking just ended on Monday, and we raised $1,125 from that. Alone,
wow.
Along with a lot of food as well. Like they said, at least like 6 big bins of food that they're going to be bringing over next week on Monday. And that's only continuing as well with EBC fines for library. So it's a really like nice, like cool initiative.
Absolutely.
They've been doing this for the last couple of years as well. So we essentially just like continued on with this, and it's worked. It's been the best initiative that the food bank has had, and it was set up a couple of years ago, and it's worked very, very well.
It's brilliant, actually.
Right?
I
right.
mean, like the when you get UBC to agree with it,
yeah.
which you seem to have,
yeah,
it's
exactly.
brilliant.
Because exactly.
you know, my one thing that I kept thinking of when you were just talking about the food drive is it's great, like for the campus wide one, but one of the problems is that it's so many of the kids on campus
yes.
already can't afford
exactly
to. So it's like, it's
how can
sort
you get
this,
these professionals involved as well,
yeah.
administration involved,
and then
as
people
well.
you're gonna have to pay your ticket anyways.
Exactly.
You're gonna have to pay your library fine, like
exactly.
no matter where you are financially, you still
yes.
it's just a part of society.
Yes.
You've got to pay these fines,
yep.
and so if you can support your community,
right.
say I'm in love with it. I'm sold. I'm totally sold on it. That's super cool. I have yet to get a library fine or a parking ticket, but I will.
Maybe you want to know.
Maybe I will. Maybe I'll do it anyways. I think I'd rather just give the money to
yeah.
straight. The fallacy in that argument was a little lost there.
Yeah.
But that's so exciting. That's really exciting
yeah.
to see all that going on.
Absolutely.
And so what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the time that you've been here?
Just the demand increased significantly, and during the summer our supply wasn't increasing significantly. We rely on very minimal areas of donation consistently. For instance, Save on Foods on campus is they donate every 2 weeks, and they donate a couple big banana boxes full of random items of food, whether it be food, also drinks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we go pick that up every single bi-weekly. That being said, we don't have access to any other grocers around Vancouver simply because the Greater Vancouver Food Bank already accepts donations from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting argument that you want to have with these people is that yes, we need these resources, we need these donations, but we can't ever step on anybody's feet for
mm-hmm.
the Greater Vancouver Food Bank. Like, how can we ever do that? Because they're dealing with the same, if not worse, implications for their clients than we are as well. So Save on Foods on campus is the only like company that donates to us as well. Throughout the summer, through all these different like media promotions that have been happening with different newspapers and different newspapers and media outlets as well, people email me saying, hey, like I was a UBC grad, now I work with a salmon company, for instance, and it's like, how can I help out? And that salmon company, they donated 2,400 cans of salmon
fantastic.
For the food bank. So it's funny because we're relying on like very random kind donations from different people around UBC and different people around Vancouver as well who hear about this. Maybe they've graduated before or they've attended a university where they saw a problem like this and they just say, hey, how can we help out? There's also an organization that's actually having food drives every single month for us as well. They are called the yeah, that's a bad thing to think about. I'll get back to you on that.
No worries. Sometimes, especially in the morning, your brain fails you.
Exactly. But the main point there is that there are a lot of different organizations that have seen this as a cause to help out, and they're helping out as well. So it's been amazing, and it's only going to hopefully continue as the year progresses.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I know with food banks, some of the issues around it is that in donations, is you get, like you said, like 2,400 cans of salmon and instant noodles and then, nothing else.
Yeah.
So what sort of things do you have a bit too much of and what kind of things would you rather have more of?
So like typical food bank donation, like what would you want to give? Probably canned soup, probably canned this, canned that.
Yeah.
So that's, we have an abundance of canned soup. We don't have an abundance of carbs. We don't have an abundance of proteins. And those are obviously, as a human being, what you should be probably eating more so. It's more nutritional value as well.
Yeah.
So people are like, what can we donate? And I say back to them, it's like, what would you eat? What would you specifically go to the grocery store and go buy and eat? And the reason why I say that is actually a big thing that we've added on this year is a refrigerator.
Oh,
so,
really?
So we have a refrigerator in the food bank so we can have cold storage food. It's essentially, it could be everything but meat right now. And we could have it for a certain amount of time, obviously, as well. We can have all kinds of vegetables. We're getting donations from the Roots on the Roof right now. It'll be ending next week, actually, because the carver season is ending.
Yeah.
But they've been donating every single week as well.
That's fantastic.
Just vegetables. Yeah, exactly. And we can just store them in the fridge and they could be there for a week. And we can essentially store any single item right now except meat because we have a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And the meat, hopefully, we'll be able to have a freezer as well by next semester. And then we'll be able to
moving up in the world.
Yeah, exactly. So then, I would challenge people who want to donate food not to donate your canned soup or anything that you find in the closet or pantry that you're just not using anymore. Obviously, that's wonderful and it's great, but we have a lot of those already.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you would go out to the grocery store and go buy, tomatoes, vegetables, cereal, rice, pasta, whatever it may be, like those are the items that are needed in the food bank because, again, the clients that are using the food bank are just normal human beings and they need to be able to be they need to have nutrients as well that everybody else
Absolutely.
Has access to, too.
It's kind of a revolutionary idea to think that you get vegetables from a food bank. I mean, to me, a representation of the world we're in now. Yeah. It's very exciting to see that you can get fresh fruit and vegetables.
Exactly.
And it's not this, like... Yeah, I remember when I was in elementary school and you'd have this event at school and be like, bring a food donation item. Yeah. And my mom would go to the deep depths of the back of the cupboard and grab those old beans.
Yeah.
And so it's really exciting to see. And the options that you have there and be able to include vegetables and include some more like nutritious items, nutritious and delicious.
Exactly. And again, don't get me wrong. We love those back of the pantry. Kind of canned foods as long as they're not expired. But like we still are very appreciative of those donations. It's just, again, challenging people to say, okay, like, how can I really help out? How can I help these clients that use the service more so? It's to give them proper food and it's to give them food that you or I would eat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's everything. You still want it to be edible. You
want
it to be tasty, right?
Exactly.
We are in some ways blessed, in some ways cursed with fantastic taste buds.
Yes.
So
yes.
Sometimes when you're hungry, it's not just enough to have food,
too.
Absolutely. Any final, like any other things going on, any exciting things that you want any listeners to know about?
We've been having a lot of help right now with the food bank and getting people to donate food. And if you had spoken to me maybe even last month or a month before that, I had a very big concern in my voice simply because I had seen, like, for instance, I'll give you some statistics to kind of put a number into the ideas that we're talking about. Again, I've only been here for 6 months, and in the summer, in the first 4 months of me working here, last year in 2014 in the summer, there were 61 visits to the food bank, and that could include multiple people as well. But people who entered the food bank, there were 61 people who 61 visits to the food bank. Someone came in and used it as well. So this summer, for instance, there were 240 visits to the food bank.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, and also in September, October is ending right now, so I'll be doing the statistics for that as well. But September alone, there were 22 in 2014, so last year. And this September, there were 60.
Yeah, so almost 3 to 4 times more.
Exactly. Wow. And the thing is, again, our supply has remained somewhat similar, especially in the beginning. In the summer, it was quite a struggle to make sure that we had quite a bit of food in the food bank, because we would go shopping with our budget that we have for the food, or we'd get a large donation and we'd be extremely excited and happy for our clients. But 3 days later, it'd be almost half gone, because so many people would be coming in every single day. And it's, we've seen the same this year as well. So we see it, we look, all the volunteers and I look at the food bank and go like, yeah, this is great. Like, it's stocked really well. And on a Monday, and then on a Wednesday, it's like, oh wow, like, we really need to start doing something again to be able to refill this. So again, one thing that I continue to say throughout the summer was that our demand has been increasing, but our supply has remained somewhat stagnant and similar. So it's just reaching out to anybody who's willing to help. Again, you're right. A lot of students were in a very similar position. We're studying, we're paying, we may have loans as well. We're most likely not the most financially stable individuals in, like, around Vancouver. So again, it's challenging people around UBC or in Vancouver as well. Maybe alumni, anybody who is willing to help out, And the thing is, I've been saying this and it's been working, and people have been contacting us and saying, hey, how can we help out? We're having this initiative. Can we donate to you guys? The concern is lowering a little bit. I still have it. That being said, I've really been extremely happy with the people that have been able to support us, because they have been able to support us. And that supply is slowly increasing as well to meet the demand.
Fantastic.
It's happening. It's happening. But we need to only continue this and make sure that we're going to have people to donate food, donate money as well, to be able to help out the food bank. And if that happens, then we'll be able to, A, just help out everybody who's using it currently, and also, B, help out people who may want to use a service in the future. Again, times are tough right now for everybody, and some people, we have the service on campus for people to use, and they shouldn't feel, again, one thing that I want to make sure is that, yes, I'm talking about this demand and supply. That being said, we do have food in the food bank, and I want everybody to know, if they ever need to use the food bank, just to come and talk to us and then use it. Again, don't think too much about it. Just if you need to use a service, if you think that you need to do it, just come and use it. It's just those students need to be able to be matched with the food that they need to actually have a very nutritious life as well, and a healthy life. And to be able to do that, we need help as well. So on both sides, it's, yes, I really want students to be able to know that this is a service out there for anybody to use, but also making sure that we'll be able to meet the increase in demand is that.
Sort of twofold.
Exactly.
One side, people, please come over. And to the other group, please help us out, kind of thing.
Please help the people that we're telling to come over.
Yeah, exactly. Well, fantastic. And one last question is a little bit of an obvious one, but why do you think this program is important?
it's one of the basic necessities of just humans. We need to be able to eat. We need to be able to drink water. We need to be able to sleep, because that helps us with our daily lives. And if we're not able to, and we've all been there, we haven't eaten something for the entire day. You've been busy, whatever. And by 5 o'clock, you're like, wow, I'm really lightheaded. I can't even focus on anything right now.
Sick and grouchy.
Exactly.
And
so then what happens if you're not able to have access to food? You're going to start studying. And you're not going to be able to study properly. You're not going to be able to focus properly. And what happens if you can't focus? Again, this is hypothetical. If you can't focus properly, you can't study properly, you can't retain information. If you can't retain information, how are you going to regurgitate that on a test? You know? And then how are you going to get good marks on that test?
And then what's the point of being there in some ways?
Exactly. It sounds very simple. But again, we have such a weird mentality. It's saying, like, oh, I don't need to eat food. I'm okay. Like, I can keep studying. I'll be fine. So it's very simple. We need food to be able to be productive and just survive properly. So again, I wouldn't say without the service, like, we won't be able to do this. But that being said, the people who have said, yes, we need to be able to use this, we need to be able to eat so we can be able to study, so we can be able to get good grades, so we can actually get that job that we've been coming here to do in the first place.
Absolutely.
And actually use university to its full capabilities. Without meeting the basic needs of just being a human, you can't be able to be successful in a lot of other avenues of your life as well, at least in my personal opinion.
No, absolutely.
So again, it's extremely important, so because we're providing food relief for anybody who needs it, and I feel like that's important for anything you do in life, especially everything around university, when everything's so hectic, everything's always, like, so many things happening around campus with your studies, with your work, whatever it may be. You need to be able to provide fuel for the people who are going to be actually going around campus and doing this. So Yeah, I think that's why it's extremely important.
Yeah, it is absolutely mm-hmm. and a fantastic answer, by the way. And so just for one last time, just reiterate, where can we find you? Where can we find the AMS Food Bank?
For sure. So the AMS Food Bank is located in the old sub, not in the nest, the old sub, and it is in room 42U. So just directions. If you were to walk from the bird coop and coming into the sub, you would walk into the basement, and you would walk, and you would continue to walk, and you would see the bike co-op on the first, on your first right. And then you would continue on. The second right is the AMS Food Bank. So students who have been on campus for a while, it was where Merit Travel used to be last year.
Mm-hmm.
Also right before the deli if you're walking in from outside of the sub. If you're walking in, you can also access it through the nest. You can just go to lower level where we are right now and just continue to walk, and it'll be on your left. It'll be the last, second to last room on your left side. And if anybody has any problems finding the place, you can always email me at foodbank@amsauc.ca and I'll escort you over to where you need to be.
Fantastic.
As well.
Yeah. So even more, you get to hang out with Jay. And I've been hanging out with Jay, and it's been pretty fun so far.
Exactly.
So,
come talk to me.
So
come
just
hang
email
out.
Him, ask him what his hopes and dreams are, and he'll chat with you. Okay. We'll be back in a second. We're going to play kind of a silly game with Jay called Is It a Food? Is It a Band? Or Is It Both?
I'm excited.
So we'll be right back. But before that, we're going to play Bit by Bit by Mother Mother.
Bit by bit, I'm gonna get my bricks out in the sticks. Bit by bit, I'm gonna build my house in the wildest thickets. I'm gonna get away from all those miles and my shh. I'm gonna say goodbye to all the la di da di da di da di da.
What If I'm Right, the debut album by Revered, releases on November 4th, along with the spectacle of a show at the Fox Cabaret. come celebrate composer and frontman Emmett Hall's musical indulgence into a pseudo-new wave prog rock catharsis of ego, an effigy to be truly revered. Doors at 7:30, tickets are $5. Visit revered.bandcamp.com for more.
Every day I know, everything will go the length I'm willing to admit.
Friday, November 10th, for the Remembrance Day holiday, come to the Biltmore Cabaret for Portland's Anjali and the Incredible Kid, DJs of the West Coast's longest-running Bollywood Bhangra Night, a Sasquatch Festival favorite. With Teaspoon from Delhi to Dublin DJing, plus more, you don't want to miss this. Doors open at 9, this event is 19 plus, and $15 advance tickets are available at Ticketfly.com, Red Cat, and High Life.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the food bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a nonprofit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Yeah. Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Student Special. I'm here with Jay from the AMS Food Bank. And we are about to play a game that I made up. It's great. It's called, Is It a Food? Is It a Band? Or Is It Both? So the pretty simple rules. I have a list of things. And I will ask Jay if he thinks it's a band, a food, or both. There's only a few that are both. So I would go on the side of caution on that one. And just see what your band, none of these, all of these are very obscure bands okay. and very obscure foods. So okay. I wouldn't be too down on yourself if you don't get them. I tested them on my friend last night and it's pretty much just a guessing game. So, all right. Tangerine Dream. What are we thinking on Tangerine Dream?
Thinking band.
You thinking band?
Yeah.
You are right. German electronic music group founded in 1967, had a rotating group of members with only keeping one consistent, the founder, Edgar Froese, and they produced more than 100 albums in their 48 years as a band. So that's pretty successful band. So Tangerine Dream, now we know. It sounds to me like some sort of fancy cocktail. So I was like, oh, maybe I can trick you.
No, definitely was thinking that as well.
Okay. Toad in the Hole.
Toad in the Hole.
Yeah. Make you really think. The real things we think about on Friday mornings.
That wouldn't really be an appealing drink name or a band name.
Yeah. But could be like food.
Or food, right?
Yeah.
That also wouldn't be a really appealing food name. But it would be one of those eccentric kind of band names. I'm going to say band name.
You're going to say band? You're actually, unfortunately, wrong. Darn. Toad in the Hole is a British dish where sausage is baked into a Yorkshire pudding. And it was very common in the Victoria period where they used basically any kind of meat available.
Okay.
Never mind how old or unpleasant it says. So there you go, toe in the hole. Serve it at your next dinner party.
Again, what was it? A sausage?
It's sausage baked into Yorkshire pudding. Okay. Which is like a kind of bready, eggy thing, right? Yeah. So there we go. We've got Cullen Skink.
Cullen Skink.
Yep. Hard hitting radio, guys.
How is this even close to a food or a drink?
I know, right?
But I have a feeling if I say band, it'll be like, no, it's actually a delicacy from wherever.
From this corner of this world. I know, I didn't really make it easy on you. They're all not really very...
That's good. I'm going to say band again.
You're going to say band. You're wrong.
Dang.
I know. I'm sorry. It is the specialty of the town of Cullen in Scotland's northeast coast. Most of these are British because British have weird names for things.
Yeah, got it.
Cullen Skink is a thick soup made from haddock, potatoes, and onions. So not too... gross of a one.
No.
Oh, well.
Kind of gross name.
Kind of a gross name. Yeah. Like, I'm not really sure where people get one. Okay, here's another one. Sugarloaf.
So now I'm going to say food and it'll be a band name.
See, it's hard because it's almost 50-50, so you're going to psych yourself out.
It is. I'm going to say sugar loaf.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like a loaf that's full of sugar, so I'm going to say food.
So you're going to say food. It's actually both.
Okay.
Right? So you could. There was no losing pretty much on that one. I gave you that one. So it's a traditional, well, it's technically food because it's a way that they refine sugar until the late 19th century. So that's... technically, it's food. No one really has it now. And then it's a 1970s band, which originated in Denver. Huh. We're together for a total of 12 years from 1970 to 1991, responsible for top hits such as Green Eyed Lady and Don't Call Us, We'll Call You.
That's Sugarloaf.
So that's Sugarloaf if you want to listen to some 1970s. I don't know what they are. They're kind of like, they're pretty rock inspired. Here's another one. How about... Love in Disguise.
Love in Disguise.
Mm-hmm. Fancy.
That's bad. I'm going to say band food.
You're going to say both?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of a clever move. I feel like it would be a band too, but it's food.
It's not a band.
I didn't find anything of a band called Love in Disguise. It's actually a stuffed calf's heart. Love in Disguise.
Wow.
Because I think it's because when you have to feed your children a stuffed calf's heart, you're not going to call it. Yeah, you're not going to call it a stuffed calf's heart. This one might be easy.
Okay.
Bowling for Soup.
It's gonna be food, but is it both? I want to lock down just food.
You're going to lock down just food. Yeah. It's a band.
As well.
It's a band. I don't know if you've ever heard.
Not food?
No.
God.
This is, I'm going to play a song by them. We're just going to, and just to finish off. Actually, I'm going to do a couple more, and then we're going to finish off with a song by Bowling for Soup. Just to show you, you know, this band, the reason why I picked it is because I thought it was hilarious when it came up. It's like a song I listened to when I was like 14,
really?
Like pop punk days.
Oh, really?
Or like Blink-182 kind of life. Okay. So, okay, we'll try a couple more though. Strawberry Alarm Clock. Come on. Don't you know these obscure band names or food names?
I love them all. Actually, I don't like them anymore. let's say band.
Band? Good move. Band. A psychedelic rock band formed in 1967 in LA.
Nice.
They're still together.
Oh, wow.
So about like 48 years later or something.
Still killing it.
They've had several stints off, but they've been together for almost a total of 48 years.
Nice.
How about the priest, or sorry, not the, just priest stranglers.
Priest wranglers?
Priest stranglers.
Stranglers.
Even more.
Wow. Priest stranglers, that's aggressive. Would I eat something or drink something called priest stranglers? Would I though? Probably not. I'm going to say band.
Band?
Yeah.
It's a Stozzapreti in Italian. It's a type of long, twisted pasta.
What?
The name is kind of a gallows humor. Priests were thought to be so gluttonous that they would choke on their pasta.
Okay, okay. So you're not actually strangling the priests, like, physically.
There's nothing going on. I think it was just that they were chubby. That's kind of mean. honey drippers.
Honey drippers. That's going to be both.
Ooh. I think it might be both. I could be wrong on this. I just found the band, but I was watching That 70s Show last night, and they said something about honey drippers.
Nice.
And I was like, maybe that's also something else.
Nice.
But yeah, at least in the band side, so rock band from the 1980s derived their name from an American blues singer, Roosevelt Sykes, also known as Honey Dripper, formed from the former lead Zeppelin singer, Led Zeppelin singer, and Robert Plant, and he just so badly wanted to do a rock band with heavy rhythm and blues influence.
Cool.
So there you go, Honey Drippers. That's one that, like, in this whole list, I would say actually, like, you might want to check out, or the universe might want to check out.
It sounds cool.
I didn't listen to them much, but I feel like that would be a good choice. Okay, one of the last ones, Bubble and Squeak.
I love the name specifically.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Bubble and Squeak. Sounds like a children's band.
Something like the, I don't know, they'd be wearing colorful costumes.
I can
like,
picture them right now.
Yeah.
It's like the squeaky voices. I'll say food.
Food. Good job. At least you stuck the landing on that one. a dish made for thrifty Britons. Leftover vegetables and potatoes from roast dinner. Named after the sound it makes as it cooks, though it could also be described. This is on a website, and I thought it was cute. Though it could also describe the horrified sounds of your guests next time you're proposed to cook it. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show here, Jay. This is Jay from AMS Food Bank telling us all about fantastic initiatives that the food bank does. It's been a great hour today on the student special hour. Next up, we have Nelly from the Cat's Pajamas gracing your radio ears over here. And tune in next week from 10 to 11 a.m. on Friday. So listen to more student initiatives, clubs, and interviews. Thanks so much for coming, Jay.
Thank you for having me.
And this is, just to go along with our game, this is going to be Bowling for Soup with High School Never Ends. See you next week.
Thank you. Love each and every one of you.
Boo!
Guys, don't give up your day jobs.
Man, you guys suck.
Boo. Don't worry. After high school, everything will be better. Let's go.